Oh, God is so wonderful. There's none like him, none like him at all. We've already established and settled that long time ago. But for you that maybe have just gotten saved or just born again, and you're just starting out in your relationship with him, there's nothing like him. And you know, as Danny was ministering earlier, we were singing, "Falling in Love with Jesus Was the Best Thing I've Ever Done." But you know what? The truth of it is he loved us before we even attempted to love him. Before we even gave him our hearts, he poured out his love for us. He loved us with such an intense passion. I don't know if we'll ever really comprehend that love. And it says that loving him was the best thing we've ever done. But he loved us. His love drew us. And that's why we came to him. When we were still out there doing our thing, when we were still living in the world, operating in the kingdom of darkness, his love compelled us and drew us. And because of his love, we can return his love in return and stay in love with him. Because we know that loving him, adoring him, worshiping him is our call. It's why we're placed here. That's our first priority in life, worshiping him and loving him. And we're going to have all of eternity to do it, worshiping him and praising him. So, Lord, I just thank you, Lord. Father, we just thank you for your presence that's here. We welcome the Holy Spirit. We roll out the red carpet to you, Holy Spirit, the teacher of the church, the comforter, the counselor, our standby. Oh, we say you are welcome in this place, most welcome. And we give you permission to say, to do, to move through me, use my mouth in any way, to say whatever you would have to say to impart to your people this evening. And Father, I pray, Lord, that the sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains and encourages the weary. And I pray that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given to me, that I will boldly proclaim the mystery of the gospel in which I'm an ambassador in chains. I pray, Father, that I will declare it boldly and fearlessly as I should. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you. Have your way tonight, Holy Spirit. Have your way. You're in charge. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, every time we come through these doors, I know every time that we've entered for any service, we hear good news. The good news right here in this Bible. It's good news. And this good news has sustained us out there in a world that we live in today that has no good news at all. Every time you listen to the news, there's an abomination. There's just evil prevailing. But we have good news. Good news to know that we're saved, we're loved, we're delivered. There's healing. There's restoration. You know, I was thinking about just the other day how God just healed just in our own family, had it not been for the Lord who was on our side. At times when I thought I was losing my mind, when he just touched my mind and healed me of depression and oppression, not just once, many, many times, how he healed our daughter. We should have in the natural buried her years ago, but how he raised her up and how the anointing went into her body and healed her. And this is just us, this is just our family. And if we were to ask every one of you what he's done in your life, you know, it's amazing, amazing testimonies and stories. But as we see on there, it says that we're in the year of the great breaking loose, the great breaking loose. Thank God it wasn't declared over us that it's the year that some may make it, maybe some won't make it, or, you know, it's going to be a dismal year. You know, things aren't looking good out there on the horizon at all. Thank God they didn't say that. But Dr. Savelle said that this is the year of the great breaking loose. Breaking loose from what? From our lack, from our oppression, from habits, from bondages, from things that have kept us held us back for years, there are some things that have held some of us back from the time we were children, things that were spoken over us, things that were done to us. And the Lord, before this great harvest and this end-time revival, I believe that this has to take place this year of this great breaking loose. It's not just financially, but this breaking loose, getting free, truly free. We say we're free, but are we truly free, though, in the inside? Truly free. But we're getting there, though. We're getting there step by step. It's that great breaking loose. It's not going to come without an effort, though. And it's not going to be handed to us. We have to get aggressive about it. Our pastors aren't going to do it for us. It's not something where you come down to the prayer line and have hands laid on you. But us breaking loose is going to be something that we're going to have to desire, go after wholeheartedly. In Matthew, in the book of Matthew, the 11th chapter, verse 11, it says that the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent, well, I'm going to read it from Amplified. The Amplified says, the kingdom of heaven has endured violent assault, and violent men seize it by force as a precious prize. A share in the heavenly kingdom is sought with most ardent zeal and intense exertion. I looked up that word ardent, A-R-D-E-N-T. And now we're still talking about the kingdom of heaven. And ardent means a passion, a fervency, a zeal, wholeheartedness, intense, intensity, fierceness, fiery, eager, committed, dedicated, a burning, a glowing. These are all principles of how we are to advance in the kingdom of heaven. And in this great breaking loose, we're going to have to be aggressive in breaking loose in these areas so that we can come into the place where God can pour into us, into our households, our families, all that he's prepared for us. The great, great breaking loose. It would have been enough for me to for him to say, breaking loose. This is the year of the breaking loose. But he said the great breaking loose, breaking out of yokes and things, things that we weren't even aware that were there, breaking out of these things and getting free once and for all. But there's going to have to be an aggression, a zeal, a fervor. You know, you can't just sit in your seat and say, well, if God wants me to, God wants to loose me, you break loose, then he'll do it. It's not going to just fall in our laps. We're going to have to go after it with all our might, just with all of these adjectives, with a fervor, with a zeal, with great compassion, fervid, wholeheartedly, with a fierceness, because the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, but the violent seize it, take it by force. You know, there was on the news on CNN, they showed it was a news clip. This happened on the mainland. This one lady went into a convenience store to buy some things. And as she was checking out, a thief came into the convenience store, and all of this was being taped on the camera. And the thief, the guy, the robber, just came up to the counter, and he grabbed her purse. Now, you know, a lot of people would have just, you know, they would have, you know, shrieked back in fear and let go of the purse. Not this woman. This woman, she grabbed her purse. She started beating him over the head with her purse and with her other hand. She was whacking him, and he's pulling on it, and she's pulling on it, and she was beating him with fervor and passion and zeal. It's like, you're not taking my purse. You're not taking what's mine, what belongs to me. And she was so aggressive, that guy took off out of the convenience store. Well, they caught him eventually. But, you know, and not only that, but she went out in the parking lot after him, chasing him down and scared him off. And, you know, that type of fervency, tenacity, you know, because when the enemy, we know we have an enemy of our soul, steal, kills, and destroy. That's his MO. But when he comes to try and take those things, that example of that woman, you know, sticks in my head. Oh, no, you're not taking my goods. You're not taking what belongs to us. Those things that may have been placed on me, these things that I need to break loose from, to be loosed from. In fact, you know, I started saying, I'm not going to break loose, but I want to revise it and say, I've already been loose from some things already. And it's freedom. It's such freedom in your heart, in your soul, in your mind. It's just to be free, you know, from pleasing people. And just go on and on of all the things that bound us. So it's the year of the great, great breaking loose. And, you know, we do have an enemy, yes, but... if you haven't chuckled today, I heard this and this made me laugh. There were two snakes that were slithering down the road. And one snake turned to the other snake. And he said, hey, are we poisonous? So the other snake quickly responded to him and says, I don't know. Why do you ask? And the other snake says, 'cause I just bit my lip. And you know, the enemy will drink his own poison. He will. He'll drink his own poison. He's already brought his own demise. His demise already, we know what that is, you know, the pit. And so, yeah, I thought that was really funny. But another thing too I appreciate is, you know, we're not really in a fight, so to speak, because Jesus took care of all of that. But we do have to guard a lot of things in our lives, in our hearts. And I know a lot of times, Pastor Wayne, I appreciate these comments that he makes on Facebook and in emails and things. And he always ends it saying, we win. We always win. And that's not just a filler, something just to say to, you know, encourage us and say, oh, yeah, we always win. We know the back of the Bible says that. But we do. We are winners. We're more than conquerors, overcomers. And you know, did you ever go to watch a wrestling match or, you know, a boxing match where two are contending, fighting, and the guy that was supposed to win didn't win? And it went to the other guy, the championship or the belt or whatever. And you know, people who go to the game and paid good money say, oh, that game, the fight, it was fixed. It was rigged. Well, how many of you know that Jesus rigged it for us? Our deck of cards have been stacked in our favor, and we win no matter what. I mean, we have the advantage. We have the great advantage over it. He's rigged it. So no matter what, we win. He finished that 2,000 years ago when he hung on the cross and said, it's finished. We win. And so, you know, the fight, there's no struggle, but it's rigged. We win. We have the advantage point. And so, really, there's nothing to fear, nothing to worry about, especially when we look around in today's world and what's going on out there. We win no matter what. God says he'll never see the righteous forsaken or our seed begging for bread. We have provision. We have a resource. We have him, the lover of our souls. So we're safe. We're in a safe place. Amen. There's one thing I wanted to bring up before we can go into the lesson. I was reading one day about Smith Wigglesworth, and Dr. Lester Summerall had asked him a question one time, and I thought it was a really peculiar question he asked him. And he asked Smith Wigglesworth, he says, what do you do in the morning when you wake up? And Smith Wigglesworth told him, he said, well, the first thing I do is, for the first 10 minutes when I get out of bed, is I worship and I dance before the Lord in the Spirit. And I joyous, like with fervor, joyfully break out. And he does that every morning for 10 minutes. Dancing, I believe, before the Lord, just like David did. And I thought, wow. So, I thought about that and thought about that, how he, for 10 minutes, just got up and danced before the Lord. And it wasn't just a little shuffle, but I believe that as he just stirred himself up and just got into rejoicing, whether he felt it or whether he felt like it or not, power was released. And in our rejoicing, power is released in us when you do that. So I started incorporating that, and I started doing that in the mornings. And boy, I'll tell you, power that comes into you is released, and just the freedom that comes. You tap into those wells of living water that are on the inside of you that are bubbling up. And when you start rejoicing and praising him, that's the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. When you start breaking out in laughter, in joy, singing praises to the Lord, there's power in that, great power. And what a way to start your day, to go out feeling empowered, free. And when you have that joy, that deep-seated joy, that joy that comes when the brooks, it says that out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water, rivers. We sang, I think, on Sunday about there's a river. Those rivers produce life, healing, strength, power, and help you overcome. And it's a wonderful, it's a marvelous thing. So, and no wonder Smith Wigglesworth was able to do the miracles and the things that he did. It was just, just awesome, amazing. But in order to do the great breaking loose this year, there are some obstacles that may come, that we'll have to overcome, some hindrances that come against us. And that's what I wanted to share and talk with you about some open doors. And I wanted to talk to you about Well, we all basically know what doors, we enter and exit doors all the time. A door is a gate, it's a passage, it's an entrance point. A door is access to participation, and a door is also can signify communication. And a door opens or closes. And we are the ones who do the opening and closing in our lives, marriages, relationship. We open and close. We give access to things, and we shut the door and don't give access. In Revelation 3:20, Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will sup and fellowship with him." John 10 says that, "I am the door." Jesus says, "I am not a door. I am the door. I'm the main door, the main person. Whoever enters in will be saved." And it says that you'll come and go and you'll find green pastures. What's green pastures? That's provision. Provision for us in every area of our lives. And we are the ones that open these doors, and we give access sometimes to things that we have no business opening the door to. But yet at the same time in Genesis 4, it talks about sin crouches at the door. Sin is waiting there at the door, crouching at the door, eagerly waiting to pounce on us. So there at the door, at the doors of our heart, we have the Lord Jesus knocking, and all of us have open that door to him, but yet sin is crouching, like the story of the two snakes. It's the only creature that slithers, just to give you an idea of one of the characteristics of snakes. But it says that sin crouches at the door, waiting eagerly to control you. So that's why we have to protect what goes into our gates. We have ear gates, we have eye gates, and we have mouth gates. And every day, things go into these areas, whether we know it or not, because we see, we hear, we speak. And we have to be so careful to protect what goes in That's why it's so important to apply the blood of Jesus over. Every morning I say, I apply the blood of Jesus over my ear gates, eye gates, heart and mind. I work in retail. It's a necessity. You know, you have some hardcore people come, you know, come into your place of work. And I have to apply the blood of Jesus over my mouth gate, especially when you're tried and tested and people push your buttons. Our eye gates, what we see, television, computer, the internet, all these things, we have to apply the precious blood of Jesus. Why the blood? Well, the enemy, when he sees the blood, he runs in terror. The enemy hates the blood of Jesus because the blood of Jesus is powerful. Apply that blood all the time, over your ear gates even, what you hear. Even if it falls on your ears and you didn't want to hear it intentionally, you were just a second party to that. Apply the blood. You don't want that stuff getting into your heart. That's why we have to guard all of these gates, all of these doors where we that have access into our hearts. We have two dogs at home. We have two pet bulls. One is Lilo and Anu. And Lilo, smart. Both of them are really smart. But Lilo is really clever. And she's developed, mastered the art of when she don't want to stay outside anymore. They get tired. We have them in the house most of the time, but when they're outside, she gets tired of sitting on the lanai. So what she'll do is she's mastered the art of putting her nose by the sliding screen door on the lanai, right where the silver frame is, and she'll use her nose and she'll slide the door open. And she lets her sister in first, you know, and then Anu will go in, and then they, of course, go in, and they run inside the house. And she's been doing this for some time now, you know, because a lot of times I'll be home by myself, and I'll hear this, you know, scampering of their paws on the floor, and I'll think, somebody break in the house, somebody's here. I'll think, maybe Herman came home for his lunch. It's the dog. She let herself in again. And so one day I came home from work, and the door was wide open. She put the door all the way back, the screen door. And so I came in, and there they were in the living room looking at each other, you know, like, well, she did it, she did it. And I knew it was Lilo. Lilo let herself in. She let her sister in. But then I also seen something else in the house. I seen a bird flying around, you know. A bird had gotten in. And we have these real high ceilings in our home, these cathedral ceilings in the living room. And that bird was flapping around everywhere going. And I thought, oh, how am I going to get that bird out? So the first thing I did was I grabbed the fly swatter. And I went after it, trying to swat it. And I just wore myself out trying to swat and stuff. And it would seem like hours. I couldn't get the bird out of the house. And so I thought, well, I'll trap it and try to get it in one area where I can trap it and then drive it out. So I finally cornered it into one of the bathrooms. And then all of a sudden, you know, I'm there looking at this bird. And, you know, the bird's this big, you know. The bird, I'm sure, was more scared of me. And then fear came over me. And then these silly thoughts of Alfred Hitchcock's movie, The Birds, started coming in my head, you know, like, what if the bird starts pecking my eyes out or getting in my hair and pecking my head and stuff? And I thought, and I backed off a little bit, you know, and then I thought, you know, come near me, you know, and I held that fly swatter off and I'm, you know, swaffing it. And then I thought, how silly. And then I remembered, you know, I thought, gee, Carol, I says, in Genesis, it says that we've been given dominion over all flying creatures, over birds, over every creeping thing, over the animals. So I thought, you know, why fear this bird, this tiny creature, you know? It probably was, like I said, more scared of me. So I went to the bird, and it's still flapping around. And then I looked at it, and I said, bird, I have dominion and authority over you in the name of Jesus. And I'm going to open that door. And when I open that door, you're going to fly right out. So I said, in the name of Jesus, get out of here. I opened the sliding glass door upstairs in our room. And within 2 minutes, she flew right out, you know, right out the door. And so how that is even in our lives, we open the door to so many things. and so many things that are subtle. And we open the door, and yet sometimes we even forget that we've allowed those things to come into our homes. And they settle in, and we don't use the name of Jesus. But we've been given the word, the blood, and the name of Jesus to take authority over these things. And we need to start exercising that, you know, especially in these open doors. And spiritually speaking, we know deep down inside what doors we have opened in our homes. We know some things that are going on in our homes that just aren't right. But yet, you know, we ignore them and we let them go on. We let them go by, and we give them access into our lives. And eventually, if we don't deal with them, if we keep ignoring them, they're not going to go away. I want you to, can we turn to the Song of Solomon? Song of Solomon, the second chapter, verse 15. Song of Solomon, second chapter, verse 15. This is the book on relationships. It says, "Catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyard, our vineyards that are in bloom. Catch for us the foxes." You know, foxes are clever, crafty, destructive little creatures. You don't want to have a fox for a house pet. You certainly don't want to have one in your home. Foxes are very cunning, and they're destructive creatures. And what foxes are after, they eat the grapes on vineyards in the natural. That's what they do. They go into vineyards, and they destroy the grapes. They wait until the grapes are ripe, because sometimes the grapes on the vine, when they're ripe, they get heavy, especially the large grapes, the juicy grapes. When they come to age, they start hanging low, and the foxes will come in, and their main assignment is to eat the grapes, and then they eventually destroy the vineyard. That's what foxes do. They first start out, when they get into the vineyard, they'll start gnawing at the branches, and then they break the branches from after gnawing it and biting it, and then they start digging holes in the vineyard. And then they ultimately spoil the root. And that's what foxes do. They're after the grapes. And so in our lives, it says, catch the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyard. We have to be careful, the little foxes that are loose in our lives. These little foxes that seem to creep in. And like it says, it's not the big sins, the big things. It's these small little foxes that creep in sometimes. And it may seem insignificant. It may seem small things. You know, like for instance, Song of Solomon does speak of relationship. But even in your household, when you notice that your children stop talking to you, when they don't confide in you anymore, that may be a little fox there at work in them. You need to address that, stay on top of that, keep open communication with them. When a husband and wife stop talking to each other, you got to be careful. There might be a little fox at work in there, you know, to bring division and strife. And it starts in small things, starts in small irritations. And then if it goes on for any length of time, then the little fox, those little things, it'll start wearing away in eating at the fruit in your lives. And we know that the fruit of the Holy Spirit, that the enemy is after fruit. Galatians 5, it talks about what the fruits of the Holy Spirit are: joy, peace, long-suffering, self-control, discipline, all these things. So those little foxes that are being released into our homes, we don't even see it. You know, just like the dog opening the door. Something flies in, you know. Sometimes we don't even notice it because we're so busy. We're so preoccupied. But those, it says to catch those little foxes. Look at, this is a scripture I want us to look at. Look at Proverbs 25, verse 28. I'm going to read the Message translation. Proverbs 25, verse 28 says, "A person without self-control is like a house with its doors and windows knocked out." I love that translation. A person without self-control is like a house with its doors and windows knocked out. You remove the restraints and discipline from your lives. You're opening yourself up, giving the enemy an open invitation to come into your life. Do you ever see a house, an old abandoned house that doesn't have any windows, or maybe, you know, just an old house that nobody's lived in for years? And kids will come by in the neighborhood and they'll throw rocks in the window and break the windows. And then eventually the doors get broken down and busted up. We had a house like that in our neighborhood. And the people moved out. They passed away, actually. And nobody else moved in the house. And year after year, the weeds, the trees started growing. The house was greatly neglected. And then neighborhood kids would come and break all the windows. And then the doors, they broke down the doors. Well, the same thing in our lives. When you have a house like that, anything can creep in and crawl in. You can have critters. You can have people, homeless people going in there, living in there, all kind of uninvited guests. And the same thing with our lives, it says in the Message, that if you don't exercise any self-control or restraint, if anything goes in your life, you know, you figure, I'll just let this slide. You know, I'll take care of this at another time. Watch out. Those little foxes are foxy. They're clever. And they take their time. But ultimately, their goal is to destroy the fruit in your life, to destroy the good fruit. Jesus says that I desire that we all have fruit and that your fruit remain. He said he's the vine and we're the branches and we are to abide in him. But if you're the vine, the connection gets spoiled by these things that you've allowed to creep into your life, then you're going to dry out. You're eventually going to backslide. You're going to fall away. And you're going to have these things come into your home and into your life that you're going to have to eventually deal with sooner or later. We can locate some of these little foxes. We could even put names on them. And we all know what they are. There's the little fox of offense, of hurt, jealousy, gossiping, competition. You can go on and on and on. Putting labels on all these little foxes. And, you know, even with offense and hurt, we have to be really careful. And especially us ladies, too, because right now, in this church body, the Lord's doing a great work in the men's lives with men to men. You know, Herman comes home and tells me what they're doing and the changes and all that's being imparted into our men's life. And us ladies, we have to be careful of what we say to our husbands. You know, I have so many ladies tell me, well, I tell my husband everything. He's my soulmate. He's my best friend. He's the priest and prophet, and he's my covering, and that's true. And you should confide in him, and you should tell him everything. But what I'm saying is you got to make sure, filter your communication with him so that you don't transfer a hurt or an offense to him. Because after all, you know, the guys, the men are just flesh and blood too. They're not made of steel. And God's doing something grand. He's doing something special. He's doing something remarkable in their lives. And it's going to continue. And the enemy would love nothing more than to start dispatching little foxes into your homes, into your marriages, into your relationships, to stop the work, to stop the fruit that's being formed in the men's lives. And us ladies, we got to be careful, because your husband's ears aren't trash receptacles. And you know, we go through things, we come home hurt, or we have an offense, and we just pour our heart out to them. But we have to watch what we say, because they could pick that up without even knowing. And then they start looking at that person different. And then these issues become an issue inside their heart. And we have to guard that, especially us ladies, because, you know, us ladies, we release things. We're emotional creatures. Men tend to, they're not wired like we are. Men tend to suppress and keep things in. They don't talk things out. But yet, we have to be careful, because God's doing an awesome work in both the ladies and the men. But right now, he's got his finger on the men. So us ladies need to be aware of that, aware of those little foxes that could creep in. Proverbs 14:1 says that the wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands, the foolish one tears hers down. Message translation says, Lady Wisdom builds a lovely home. Sir Fool comes along and tears it down brick by brick. Gee. A wise woman builds her house. Notice that it says the woman, the wise woman builds her house, not the man. The man may physically build the house with the bricks, with the wood and so, but it says the wise woman builds her house. How do us women build our house? We set the tone. We set the atmosphere. We're the peacemakers. The wise woman. If you're wise, you'll flow in excellence. You won't be disorganized. You won't be sloppy. You won't overspend. You won't be a busybody. But you'll keep the affairs of your house intact. And you'll build your house over and over on a good solid foundation, because you're obedient to the Lord, to the ways of the Lord. But it says that a foolish woman, no woman would intentionally want to tear her own house down. Who would want that? Who would do that? But you can do that unintentionally by allowing these little things, these little foxes creep in and start chewing away and tearing down. And before you know it, you have chaos. You have strife operating here and there, and you have all these things, every evil work going on in your home. But the wise woman watches over the affairs of her house. And if you want to see some of the attributes of a wise woman, most of us ladies know, go to Proverbs 31. And it'll show you that the wise woman builds her house through hard work. She fears the Lord. She respects her spouse. She has foresight. She's an encourager. She cares for others. She's concerned about the poor. You don't have to be a Martha Stewart, so to speak, where you make everything from scratch, you know, bake all your bread and sew all the clothes for your children and your family. But, you know, you do what you have best with that. Whether your home is a one-bedroom or whether you live in a five-bedroom house, you beautify it. You build your house, and you make it you make it your castle. You make it your home to where your kids want to come home and your husband wants to come home. Not, you know, they make excuses to stay away, or they make excuses why, you know, their friends don't. They don't even want to bring their friends over to the house. But the woman, a wise woman, will build her home. And so we got to be careful in these areas, and attending to our vineyard. And you know, it's the Bible says in Song of Solomon that we are to catch these foxes, to catch them. What do you do when you catch them? What do you do after that? Destroy them. You're not to keep them as house pets, build a little make-believe, you know, house for them in your backyard. But you're to destroy these foxes, because they'll start destroying your home life. Do like Samson did. If you've read Judges 15 about Samson, Samson had supernatural strength. He did supernatural acts of strength, because when the power of God would come upon him, his assignment in life was to fight the Philistines. And Samson's downfall was the women that he got entangled with. That was his downfall. And as powerful as the anointing of God would come on Samson, he made lousy choices with women. he chose Philistine women. And of all the beautiful, I'm sure, women of in the Israelite camp in his own backyard, he chose a the first one before Delilah was a Philistine woman. He wanted to marry her. And then what had happened was is his wife-to-be was given to his best man after he was planning his wedding. And his father-in-law gave his wife-to-be to his best man. And that infuriated him. I mean, that just... And this they were the Philistines from the Philistine camp. So Samson decides to go out, and he catches 300 foxes. And he pairs them up, catches them by two, ties their tails together. And then after that, so he had 150 pairs of foxes. And then what he does is he lights a torch to the tails of the foxes. And then he sends them in the Philistine camp. And these foxes went through and they ate all their vineyards, destroyed the grain, demolished all of their vineyards because he wanted to get revenge on the Philistines. So when the Philistines found out and they said, "Who did this?" And the people told him, "Samson did this." What they did was then they took people from their own camp. They took the father-in-law and his wife-to-be, and they burned them to death, and they killed them. And then after that, you know, Samson fell for Delilah. She outfoxed him. He loved her, but she didn't love him. And she nagged him, and she coerced him, and finally releasing what the secret to his strength was. And after a while, you know, he fell for the bait, and he was outfoxed by Delilah. And not only did he lose his anointing, but he lost his eyesight. He ended up in prison, and then eventually lost his life. So we got to be careful over these areas where the Lord's pinpointing, or these things that we have made just seem familiar to us. Watch out. They may be infiltration of the enemy, trying to steal the fruit from our lives. And we need to stay on top of that and ask the Holy Spirit to search your heart and say, where are these areas? Where are these little foxes in my house, in my life, in my children's? And to stop them from eating the grapes and destroying the fruit in our lives. Because we are to produce much fruit. Fruit brings glory to our Father. It brings glory to the Lord. And so these open doors, it's important. The doors that we open, the things that we give access to. Now, there are doors that the Lord opens as well. And we are to shut the doors to Satan. We know that. That's a given. And then open the doors that God wants us to walk through. But how do you know for sure what doors the Lord opens up? How do you know that that door was opened for you to walk through? How do you know that that's God? And how do you know if it's from the enemy? How do you know the difference? We can pray if you have wisdom. If you lack wisdom, ask God, and he freely gives wisdom. But there are just three things that we'll know for certain if an opportunity or an open door is really from God. And these three ways you can be sure of. The first way is that the door that God opens will never contradict his word. James 1:16 and 17 says, "Don't be misled. Whatever is good and perfect comes down to us from God. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow." The second way we'll know that the door has been opened by God is that it'll be accompanied by confirmation. There's safety. You've heard there's safety in two or three witnesses. Matthew 18, verse 16 says, "But if they will not listen, take two or three others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses." And then the third thing is, the door God opens for you will require you to solely depend on him. You'll have to depend on him. It'll be him doing it, not you. It'll seem impossible at first. He'll ask you to do something that you feel you can do on your own, but that it'll cause you to place your total dependence on the Lord. Philippians 4:6 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all that He's done. Then you'll experience the peace which exceeds anything that we can understand. The peace that surpasses all understanding, that peace will be your umpire. It'll guard you in all your ways. Amen. Well, let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word that is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And Holy Spirit, you have said from headquarters that this is the year of the great breaking loose. Breaking loose from yokes, from bondages, from burdens, from lifestyles, from bad habits, from things that would hold us back, from stepping into your best, everyone's anointing, their call, their purpose, the greater. Because this church has been called to greatness, we are in revival, and the enemy would love to stomp out those fires of revival. But it's up to us to continue to pursue, to keep those revival flames alive, not just a flicker, but blazing with fervency, with passion, zeal. And so, Father, in order for the great breaking loose to happen in each and every one of our lives, Father, Lord, that you showed us from the word today of these open doors where we have let the enemy come in and have access into areas that he has no business, because we know that sin crouches at the door, yes, but Jesus also stands at the door. Who will we open that door to? We know we want Jesus, and yet we want to shut the door to everything that the enemy represents, because he represents no good thing. His fruit is spoiled, it's evil, it's demonic, but the fruit of the Spirit is what we want to develop in our hearts and our lives. So Holy Spirit, I'm asking you tonight that you would speak to everyone that is here. Husbands and wives, those that represent their families, their households, moms, maybe dads, grandmas, aunties, uncles, singles, that the Holy Spirit would put his finger in these areas where these little foxes have maybe gotten access into your life, into your home, and where to catch them. And not play with them and not pet them, but to catch them and destroy them, to drive them out, because their ultimate goal is to destroy the fruit from our lives and get into our home and wreak havoc. So, Holy Spirit, I ask you that you would bring to people's remembrance, speak to their hearts, their spirit, these things that have crept in, offense, hurt, jealousy, any of these things, and on, the list goes on, things that we need to be aware of and deal with them, settle them, and get them out of our lives, never to open that door again. Because, Lord, you're doing a great work in these days, in these end times, and this church has been called for greatness, and we shall see and we shall do the greater works. And it won't be afar off. But like Kenneth Hagin said, this is it. This is it. There's no dress rehearsal. There's no other generation or people. We're it. We're the real thing. There's no other time to waste. What are we waiting for? So let's examine. Let's ask the Lord. Shine these things. Make them obvious. Show them to us, so that we can settle these things, drive them out, so that the great breaking loose in our lives, that we can operate, flow in the anointing, each and every member here bringing their supply to the body, to our services, and not just within these walls, but to the outside world. When our men go out there to minister, to evangelize, to win souls. And even the women, for the assignments that the Lord has for us women, for your children. We need to be troubleshooters. Just like you would take your car down to the garage and troubleshoot the car to find out why it's missing. Maybe it's the spark plugs. Maybe it's this, something mechanical, so that the car runs smooth, it runs well, gets you to your destination. We need to troubleshoot our home. Check and see what areas aren't hitting, we're missing it in areas, and be swift and quick to resolve them, to say, I'm sorry. To be the first one, the bigger one, to show love, the love of God. To use wisdom in our daily affairs. Because when you have wisdom, excellence outflows from that. Excellence, the spirit of excellence outflows from having wisdom. So Holy Spirit, thank you. You're the teacher, you're the helper, you're the one called alongside to help us. We thank you for help. I even thank you for correction, for disciplining us, speaking to us. This is a good thing. We need it. We need correction. We need a little tweaking here and there. From the Word, there's no condemnation, but you ever so lovingly convict us. And then you're quick to come in and show us how to fix it, how to heal it, what the right words to say and what to avoid. So I thank you. I thank you, Holy Spirit. Have your way in here tonight. Lord, you see the heart. You're the one that looks upon the heart. That much fruit will come forth from our lives. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Let's just wait a little while. Just wait on the Lord to see if he would like to do anything else. If you're dry in your spirit, if it's been a while since you've tapped into those wells of living water that each of us have, that well that produces joy in the Holy Ghost, laughter, if it's been a while since you drank from your own cistern, from your own well, maybe your well is dry. Maybe it's empty. It's been a while since you've even laughed, where your joy from your salvation seems diminished, where it's hardly even there. There's no joy. When was the last time you had a drink? When was the last time you had a drink of living waters? Not from the world, but when was the last time you had a good long drink of living waters, the waters that are produce life? The woman at the well showed up and she was thirsty. And Jesus came and he says, but I have living waters to offer you where you'll never thirst again. And she says, give me these waters. I desire these waters. When was the last time you took a good long drink from the wells of your salvation? From out of your spirit, you just turned in deep. Pastor Robin wrote that beautiful song, we're going deeper, deeper into the things of the spirit, deeper. And if you're stuck in a place to well, your well is dry, and those living waters aren't bubbling and rising up into a great river, then you need to be refreshed and you need to store. You need to stir up that. You need to stir that up within yourself and drink. He says, those that thirst and hunger shall and will be filled. And if that's you, and if you haven't had a long drink for a long time, place your hand on your belly, on your spirit, and begin to pray in tongues in your heavenly language. If you don't have your heavenly language, if you would like to, would you raise your hand? If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, where you can tap into these wells, stir yourself up. If you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, He's your best friend, your comforter. Stir yourself up. Stir that up in you. Stir it up. Get refreshed. Get your joy back, the joys of your salvation. Laughter, joy, dancing in the Spirit before the Lord. That's the true breaking loose. Getting free within, breaking out. Lord, we're thirsty tonight. We're thirsty. We want more of you, more living waters, joy, peace, laughter, rejoicing, because out of these things, power flows, your power, dunamis power. And we take this power and we lay hands on people, lay hands on them, on the sick, watch them recover. Drive demons out. Do the greater works that Jesus said we would do. Stir that up, Lord. Fill us. Fill those that are thirsty tonight. Fill them. Fill them. In your name we pray and ask it.